Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for all the blessings you give us, especially today for two things, for moms and for your love, and oftentimes how those two intersect and we experience both together. Bless your word this morning in our hearts to move from fear of being unloved to being firmly connected to your unconditional love. Bless the hearing and sharing of your word as we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be looking at some verses from 1 John chapter 4. There's also some message notes in your worship folder to follow along with this morning's message. Again, happy Mother's Day. It's a day to celebrate moms and the great things and the impact they have in our life. And, you know, even as I say that, though, there perhaps is a reality that in our culture, in our society, that it's maybe not a happy Mother's Day for all too many. For whatever circumstances that may be, where a relationship with a mother has been strained or disconnected, and that connection has been broken for a short or a long period of time, and so Mother's Day is maybe one of those you kind of care to forget. Or maybe for some, the desire to be a mom, and that never was a blessing that God gave, and so the heartstrings are pulled when that reality comes to mind. Or maybe the distance that you haven't had an opportunity to reconnect with your mom, or perhaps if you're in that stage of being a mom, that the frustrations of raising children, or all the different emotions that can come on a day like this that's titled Happy Mother's Day, but the reality is maybe it's not always as happy for everyone, but I pray that in general we celebrate and have recognized and do recognize the blessing that we have in the moms that God has given us, even if those moms aren't perfect. And as much as we'd like to think they are, the reality is they too are not perfect. So maybe as we're thinking about being unloved, you know, maybe as a kid growing up, there is a fear inside, I don't want to lose mom's love, or I don't want to lose dad's love. But I think that reality continues in us, that there's a human part of us that God put in us that desires to be loved and to have people to show love to. So I ask you the question this morning, what makes you feel unloved? What makes you feel unloved? And again, it may be different. For different people, maybe some of you have heard of the five love languages of how we can speak love to one another, and the absence of one of those may make us feel unloved. And those five are quality time. So maybe you feel unloved when the person you care about isn't willing to spend time with you. That makes you feel unloved. And the positive on the other side, when they do, you do feel loved. Another of those languages is acts of service. So maybe you feel unloved when you feel like someone should have done something for you and they missed that opportunity, and on the converse, you feel loved when someone does do that. Or maybe you feel unloved when you do not receive words of affirmation. That's another love language. That you hear words of criticism or critique and you feel unloved because people share criticism with you. And again, on the converse, I feel loved when there are words that are positive. Or gifts. When someone has taken time to present a gift to you that's meaningful, and maybe on the other side, I feel unloved when that doesn't happen. Or physical touch, just being close to someone. That if the person I want to be close to doesn't want to be close to me, I feel unloved. So what makes you feel unloved? And maybe you can grasp that emotion a little bit in your heart this morning and a little bit in your mind. I don't want you to dwell on it too long, but I want to understand in your own heart and your mind, what am I relying on to feel loved? And then on the other side is what would I like to experience that would really say to my heart, I am loved? Do you have some of those thoughts in mind? perhaps the unfortunate reality when we deal with one another, even as we deal with one another in love, that the love that we can exhibit and the love that we desire is not always perfect. And we can feel disappointed and we can feel unloved. And so where do we find unconditional love? Where do we find a love that we can count on? So we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 19 in a moment, and look at some three areas that make us feel unloved, perhaps, in addition to what I already spoke of. And how does God replace that with an unconditional love? So that when I feel unloved, how can I turn back to my Savior who loves me unconditionally? So the first one, if you're filling in your blanks this morning, I feel unloved when I measure how I am loved by the latest measure of love. Now, what do I mean by that? I feel unloved when I measure how I am loved by the latest measure of love. By that I mean maybe some of you are British royalty followers, and the connection between Meghan Merkel and Prince Harry, and you look at that and go, oh, there's a relationship that is of a prince and a princess and coming together, and perhaps it's that, I wish I had that kind of love. I wish I had that kind of story. Or you watch one of the Disney princess movies and you see that same type of fairy tale type love, and if I can't have that, then I feel unloved. Or maybe there are other things that you wish you could have, and it's maybe the measure of, in a family, sometimes you have sibling rivalries, right? And like, mom loves me more, nah, 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 nah. Or mom doesn't love you, nah, right? And you kind of play against each other, and you measure that by what you perceive the other sibling gets, whether it's more of mom's time, whether it's more of mom's stuff, or whether it's more opportunities, and you perceive the measure of what is fair, and if I don't get what's fair, and I don't get what my siblings have, then I perceive that one of my parents or both of them love the other one more than they love me. Or sometimes I just carry a silent measuring stick in my own heart. We call them in our relationship silent expectations, right? Where you're thinking something and you're just trying to commit those brainwaves to your spouse or to your kids and say, if you could just do this, that would show your love. And when it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Inside, what starts to grow? Frustration and anger and feeling like the person doesn't love me, but I've never maybe communicated that, but I hold that measuring stick. And it's my own measure that I feel unloved because it's not measuring up. So where do we turn for a consistent, reliable measuring stick to love? 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. You see, unconditional love, part B of this first point, is measured by God's love for us. So take some of those things I said. If you think of that kind of sibling rivalry and what's fair and what's not fair, and they love me more, love me less, and I start to measure how I am loved based on the human experience around me, here's what God says consistently to each of his children. I've given you my Spirit. You didn't deserve it. You didn't ask for it. You didn't earn it, but I've given it to you to bring you into my family, maybe through the waters of baptism, through the gospel message, the good news about Jesus, where he communicates to our heart, I love you. You're one of mine. God's love is consistent. As he said, he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He didn't send his Son to be the Savior of the kids he liked best. He didn't send a Savior of the world to those that he thought were the better half of society. He sent the Savior for the world, for all of us, even though none of us deserved it. He says, here's my love for you. Greater love has no one than this, that he gives up his life for his friends, and Jesus calls us his friends. And then the last phrase in verse 15 or 16, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. I love that word rely, because if you can rely on something, what does that mean about that person or that thing? It's always there, right? It's constant. It's not going away. And our human emotions in regard to love, as they're determined by the people and how people interact with us, it's no wonder that our love emotions go up and down, right? And we feel unloved, and then we feel loved, and we feel unloved. And God's love is always there. So when that human connection that I so desire, and when it's not there, I can go back and say, my Jesus loves me still. And that's a love I can rely on, and it's not going away. And I've evidenced that because he gave me his Spirit. He made me one of his children. He calls me his own, and he says, I love you. And that's an unconditional love that's measured by God's unconditional love for you. What changes when I start to look for unconditional love from God versus the things and the people and the world around me? Perhaps those strong highs and the deep lows begin to even out, because my constant, my measure, is always the love that God has for me. And even when it feels like the people around me that I care about don't care about me, I know my Jesus still loves and cares for me. Secondly, sometimes we feel unloved. And that comes when I fear being loved hangs in the balance of being perfect. I feel unloved when I fear being loved hangs in the balance of being perfect. You ever feel that you have to earn someone's love? And as soon as you don't do what they expect, their love turns off and you feel unloved. And that love is something that's earned, that's deserved, and something that I have to constantly work for. You ever felt that way? And again, reality in our human experience is that happens, right? On both sides. It's like I, in loving someone, go, well, if they do this and if they do that, then I will love them, right? I set up some condition in my own heart and mind that leads someone else to have to earn it. And if they don't get it right, forget it. I'm not loving them, right? We set up those conditional aspects of love, and it's no wonder that we fear losing it, right? If I do this wrong, if I mess up, and like, oh, they're never going to love me again. Because we as human beings, again, we tend to conditionalize our love for others. And so inside, there is a fear that if I mess up, I'm going to lose that love. Here's what the Word of God says. Continuing in 1 John 4, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. What is God telling us? Because sometimes we can transfer that measurement and that performance and that desire for need for perfection and say, if I'm not perfect, God isn't going to love me. And when I really mess up, God is never going to love me again, right? And those are the messages that we start to feel and we start to hear in our own hearts, and we start to drift away from God because we feel like we've messed up more than God could ever forgive and he could never love us again. And the scriptures say there is no fear in love, but when I am striving to earn love based on my performance, I will always have a fear that I'm going to lose that love. And before God, if he says, be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect, if we were performing for God's love, yes, we have every right to be afraid of God's judgment, Because none of us in this room, none of us in the world could ever be perfect enough to earn God's love. We try. We hope we're better than most. We stay away from the big sins. But still, if we're relying on our perfection to earn God's love, we will always feel unloved. And that's what's so different about God's love. There is no fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. How does perfect love drive out fear in your hearts? Because perfect love came to this earth. God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not because you've been perfect and your performance has been great or better than most. It's because God's love is unconditional. And unconditional means, to state the obvious, there are no conditions because it is from the heart of God to you. Because we could never meet the conditions to earn God's love. But yet, in his amazing grace, he gives it freely. Number 2b, unconditional love is based on Christ's perfection, not my performance. Unconditional love is based on Christ's perfection, not my performance. And what God wants that to do in your heart is just to let the fear go away and let a peace settle in. To know that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. As we're connected to Christ, there is no fear. And we are under the umbrella of God's perfect love. Now let's think about our human relationships for a moment. What happens to my ability to love others when I realize God's love for me isn't based on my performance? I can let go of my need for someone to perform well to earn my love. Right? I can let go of that. I can let go for all of the qualifications, say, well, if they do that, then maybe I'll love them. You know what? They really hurt me, so if they're going to want my love back, they better earn it. You see, when I realize how much I've been forgiven by Christ unconditionally, I can let go of that. And I can love even when I haven't been loved. Because God's love is unconditional. It leads me to love unconditionally. And that leads us to the third point. I feel unloved when I am not loved by someone who claims to love. I feel unloved when I'm not loved by someone who claims to love. Perhaps this one, let's apply it really close to home in our Christian family. We've probably all experienced, and maybe at times it's kept you away from a community of believers, because those that profess to be in Christ's love were not loving. And on behalf of the Christian community, I just want to say I'm sorry. To say I'm sorry that ones who profess Christ's love have a hard time loving others at times. And that hurts, doesn't it? Because you kind of expect it a little bit. Like you profess to know Christ's love that's unconditional, yet that snide remark or that break in our relationship or the silent treatment or the undue criticism or whatever it is, the insensitivity, sometimes it's the harshest and most hurtful within a community of God's people. And I feel unloved when I'm not loved by someone who claims to love. It's like you claim Christ's love, no wonder it hurts. Here's what God's word speaks into our heart to do better. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. You mean even the one who hurt me? Yep. Even the one who I don't like? Yep. Even the one who's given me the cold shoulder? Yep. Yep. I get it. There are extra love opportunities in our sphere of interaction. And perhaps we have created extra love opportunities for someone else in our life, and maybe we have to go and apologize and say, I'm sorry that I have been unloving, to repair that relationship, because the relationship, both with the Lord and with each other, especially in the community of believers, is so vital. This should be the place where we can mess up and still experience love and forgiveness. This is where we should be able to, you know what, get rid of the Sunday facade and the fake smile and go, you know what, I am really struggling. And to experience an unconditional love that helps us through those tough times. Versus go, oh, well, look what they're going through. No, we don't want that. And in essence, God is saying, I've surrounded you with brothers and sisters in Christ to help you put my love into practice. Now, that doesn't mean as a brother, like, look, I'm going to help you love, so I'm going to be mean spirit. No, it doesn't give us the right to set up those opportunities. It just says they're going to happen because we have a sinful nature inside each one of us that still struggles with sin and to love with the love of Christ. So look around. Turn around. It's okay. Look around. Look who's here today. And if you're within earshot of them, just say, you may be my extra love opportunity. Right? Because it may happen. Again, inadvertently. And God's given us each other to practice his love on. So let's do it. Because the scriptures say you can't claim Christ's love and hate your brother over here. They don't match. In our Bible study today, a little shameless plug between services, we're going to look at Jesus' words, love your enemies. What? Come on, Jesus. You don't really mean that, right? We love because he first loved us. You see, when I experience Christ's unconditional love for me, how does that help me love unconditionally? Because every time I feel hurt, someone wronged me, they're not being fair, etc., what do I just go to the cross and go, here's the question I ask myself. Was Jesus unjustly punished? Did people love him? Did he only go to the cross for perfect people? He looked at the people who put him there and said, Father, forgive them. You see, what empowers us as God's people to love unconditionally is the unconditional love of Christ. So let it sink into your hearts. Let it sink into our family. Let it delve deep into the community of believers and let it exhibit itself outside these walls. And maybe just wrapping up with an encouragement to moms, grandmas, really, families in general. We see a lot of unconditional love from our moms, where they sacrifice, they give up things they want, they love even when we aren't loving them back. And that is such a blessing. And moms, I want to encourage you to keep going. And when you feel like your love tank is completely empty and there is not another ounce to give, I want to keep the cross of Jesus before you. Because I think of moms like Eunice and grandmothers like Lois who poured into young Timothy. And the reason that Timothy had the solid faith that he had, yes, was a gift of God from his spirit. But my guess, God used the unconditional love of his mom and grandma for him to not only know, but to see where unconditional love was to be found. so that when he felt unloved, he always knew he was loved first and foremost by his Savior Jesus. Let that unconditional love drive out all fear of ever being unloved, because God in Christ has said with certainty to you, I love you. You're mine. Amen. May God's peace that comes from knowing we bask in his unconditional love that's been lavished on us as his children guard and keep your hearts and minds now and always. Amen.